you know, the perks of using segments is you can create your list one time and you can sync it to all the channels and it's just always managed. And every customer, every order that comes in will be dynamically updated and pushed to all the channels for retargeting and, lookalike audience building. Plus we have actually quite a few segments that we periodically drop into dashboard, you know, as either premium segments that we create using SQL logical data modeling, as well as any new interesting insights that we found, from the aggregated data, we'll create those segments for our merchants as well.
You're listening to E-commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
Today's episode is brought to you by Gorgeous, the leading customer service platform for Shopify e-commerce brands, helping merchants to unlock revenue and deliver exceptional customer service. By prioritizing customer engagement, brands can create deeper and more personalized experiences for their shoppers. With the rising cost of acquiring new customers, retention is the key focus for direct-to-consumer brands. Creating outstanding customer experiences shouldn't be costly or a burden for your customer support team. This is exactly why Gorgeous is so great. Gorgeous helps you improve your customer experiences by managing all of your communication channels from one dashboard. It provides you with the ability to customize messages and automate replies, giving Gorgeous users an unparalleled power to resolve customer inquiries quickly and personalized, which is why you need to improve your customer retention. Get started with Gorgeous today and start managing all of your communication channels from one platform that's designed to help you. Exclusive to my listeners is a 2-month free trial, so go check them out today at ecommercefastlane.com/gorgeous. Well, hey there, my name is Steve Hutt. I'm Senior Merchant Success Manager here at Shopify, and welcome back to the fifth season of E-commerce Fastlane. Now, if this is your first time listening or your weekly subscriber, I seriously appreciate the fact that you're taking time today and listening to the show. I know there's plenty of podcast choices out there and direct-to-consumer and marketing strategy and just anything to do with Shopify. And just the fact that you're here today really does mean the world to me, and I know it does for my featured guest. Ironically enough, this is his fourth time on the show. We'll dig into that in a minute. One thing that's great about this show is that, you know, we make sure that we have guests that come on that really have impactful stories to tell about maybe software and in some cases agency partners that come on and talk about what specifically are you doing to help Shopify brands to grow and scale. In today's episode, my guest is John Chow. He's the co-founder of Trestle Segments. I also have a co-guest on today. His name is George Sylvain, and he's actually an advisor and a merchant who actually uses this solution. So he's actually here to talk from his perspective versus maybe from the brand's perspective. Now, what Segments does, and I love this product, they are a Shopify app. They connect to your store, and what they do is they help a store owner and marketing teams really to scale revenue by leveraging this first party data, this and helping segment and help. It's almost like advanced data science built right into this app. So you can actually find different cohorts of popular and profitable groups of people you can market to directly on social, or you can market directly through your email and through SMS. It's an absolutely needed solution. It's the education I believe is not out into the market, even though John's been on the show, this being his fourth time, that the narrative needs to get out into the wild more consistently, that first party data is extremely important. It's in Shopify. It's just not being sliced and diced and marketed against correctly with acquisition costs so high. Super important to learn about segments. So welcome, gentlemen. John Chow, welcome. And George, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Absolutely. So, John, fourth recording. Thank you very much. I was just looking in the archives minutes ago. Episode, believe it or not, 77, like almost 2.5 years ago. 152, and then you're on 189, and now here we are, 278. So I wanted to, you're definitely my most recurring guest I've ever had, and I just wanted to thank you for building this product, and it's fantastic for you to be here today.
Well, it's great to be back for the fourth time, Steve. Super excited to be on because, I mean, there's just been so much progress this year. And so we have prepared some I believe every year we actually analyze our top brands through Black Friday and wanted to share some of that data analysis insights with the listeners as well.
I think from some of my notes here, I see George has really has kind of helped co-write and kind of understand and here to maybe help articulate a little bit about some of this data that's been found, the research that you've done. And there's a really great blog post that's put out about this, about Black Friday and Cyber Monday and just the things around it and what you've learned about the cohorts of people that shop during Black Friday and Cyber Monday. So George, maybe I'll let you kind of intro yourself a bit about your, your recent past and then kind of where we are today with some of these data points that you've located.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Steve. And happy to be here. I have been in e-commerce for quite a few years now, but most recently, my last full-time position was VP of Marketing and E-commerce at Fellow, make a high-end coffee making accessories and things like that. And 10 years ago or so, I co-founded Social Print Studio, which is an online print shop. And I still work there today using Segment and running a lot of the marketing there. So, when John let me have a look behind the scenes at the aggregate data from the merchants that use Segments, it's a little bit like a kid in a candy store for me because I don't know if you've I'm not sure how many other merchants are listening to this, but one of the main things that we are usually seem to be talking about is, well, what's everyone else seeing right now? Good? We're seeing good performance right now. Is everyone else, or we're seeing bad performance? Is everyone else? And so getting to just kind of study the aggregate data from an analytics tool of a bunch of brands was really exciting for me. And I was just curious to see if like how many of the things that I believed to be true about Black Friday and the customers that we acquire then and how we market to them, you know, how many of those things are truisms across the industry. And I was able to find out some interesting stuff. And thanks to John and the team, and I think the post we wrote is pretty helpful. But I'm biased. Yeah.
And well, you know what I'll do is I'll make sure this post is actually going to be in the show notes. So make sure we have a link to that just so you can kind of read the whole thing. It's kind of hard sometimes on a 30-minute podcast to go through all the aggregate data that you've kind of shared in this post, but the full link will be available and I'll share that in a few minutes at the end. So let's get into some of these BFCM insights. We're talking about maybe some comparisons of last year to kind of this year sort of thing. And so let's kind of unpack a few of them. One thing that I did notice, which I'm not sure if you mentioned it on your doc here, is that apparently we have one extra shopping day this year versus last year, just based on the times, I guess the way the Friday shows up. I think it was the 25th of 21. And then this year it's the 24th of 22. So extra shopping day means like a lot more potential sales for people having that extra day. But maybe barring that, what sort of insights did you want to kind of unpack first?
So I think the biggest trend that we see, I think, between 2020 to 2021 consistently is that repeat shoppers is a huge part of your Black Friday revenue, right? We've seen like 52% of revenue, 50% of orders actually come from second-time purchasers or more, right? And so, you know, even though Black Friday is kind of marketed to be this huge, you know, competitive ad buying season as the Super Bowl of retail, and everybody kind of spend a lot of money on acquiring new customers, but we wanted to remind everybody that you're going to be probably way more profitable if you do take care of your repeat customers and have a segmented strategy on re-engaging them. And that's probably the single biggest thing that we wanted to talk about.
Okay.
But the second thing being like the Black Friday cohort, based on our analysis, they do behave slightly differently from the rest of the months. And so one of the things we saw was only about 17% of your Black Friday purchasers are going to come back and purchase again. Mm. And that's actually lower than the average that we're seeing for most brands across like a normal month.
Mm. That's interesting though about that, because if only 17% of BFCM are going to come back and shop again, so it implies a little bit of impulsive kind of like just the BFCM hype that goes around with wanting to shop, just shop in general, and then without maybe some due diligence of like, do I really want this or do I love this? It's okay, I'm going to keep it, but I may not come back again. So that's interesting versus people that actually do some research, make a purchase and love the product and then tell their friends about it and then come back again and buy another pair of shoes or another apparel item or supplements or whatever the product happens to be. So that's very interesting information. So that implies to me that even though you may know your cohort, especially with the segments tool, to know who your BFCM traffic and customers were a year ago, it sounds like they may not be the best people to market to because you've seen the differential between 21 going to 22, only 17% are coming back or came back in 22 from 21 sales. So knowing that, so what is the marketing strategy then? If one thing we don't want to do, and I tell a lot of my book of business about this, is that we don't want to pray and spray all our contacts out or just through SMS and email. Like that's one of the advantages of your tool. So maybe not segmenting last year's BFCM customers and sending them, hey, you were a former BFCM customer last year. Maybe you might want to pick something up this year. That sounds like not a very good strategy, knowing that only 17% came back after that purchase.
What a part of that is, I think, Steve, is that probably a lot of brands are not actively monitoring or re-engaging the Black Friday cohort consistently. And so we wanted to, we actually, in this year, we'll talk about a little bit later, is that we actually have about seven new, Black Friday specific segments, that we dropped into, our segments dashboard and to help our merchants like monitor this specific cohort of customers and then to have a strategy to re-engage them and sort of, combat sort of that, 17%, right? Like, I think that lower CLV, and you're definitely going to get a lot of customers who come back maybe for the one time only and potentially not come back because they're looking for, it's kind of discount shoppers or discount hunting. But how do you re-engage them, right? The percentage of them do become loyal customers and could continue to make second, their purchases. So how do you have a strategy going into Q4 and also leading to January to continue to convert and talk to these customers?
Right. So this is where I would come in often, and help the Trestle team thinking about, how we should explain to our merchants what to do with these people. And, my advice is that, if they're less likely to repeat, what are the reasons for that and what can you do about it? And so, one thing that's, potentially mostly obvious, but not for maybe not every brand. Every brand's a little different, but this is a gifting occasion, so you might be buying stuff you don't normally buy. My sister's really into knitting and things like that, and so I would potentially be buying things from stores that I wouldn't purchase, as I'm not into that myself all year round. So there's an example there, right? But then if you're thinking, great, I'm going to assume that 100% of the people who are shopping from my site are interested in this product themselves, that's how my marketing is going to be the rest of the year. Maybe they need to be in this Black Friday segment, only needs to be emailed on giftable occasions and targeted as if there's a gift. And so one of the other piece of advice I would give is, and this is, again, not necessarily a thing you can do directly with the segments tool, but what you can do is ask people on your post-purchase survey, who's this for, yourself or a gift, and, tag people who say a gift a certain way. And then you can know that that's a gifting cohort. I mean, you can almost assume a lot of the people who buy during Black Friday are a gifting cohort, but not always, you could also look at, customers whose orders are going to a different shipping address than the billing address. And that would be another way to segment out potential gift buyers. And then you could find a way to nurture them such that they don't feel they don't unsubscribe or disengage because you don't send them messages that aren't relevant to them. So you need to, keep track of the segment. And Trestle, the segments tools is creating this new segment for our customers this season, which is new customers acquired whose first purchase is between tomorrow and the end of Cyber Monday. And anyone who's in that cohort, I think it's worth taking a good look at and trying to exclude them from certain other email market. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but my email inbox is a war zone right now and it's only going to get worse.
Yes, and SMS is blasting.
There's a sort of other thing that we don't talk about that often, but there's also an unsubscribe bonanza that takes place in the next couple of months, especially the next 2 weeks. I'll sometimes just hit a tipping point around Black Friday or Cyber Monday and just start deleting and unsubscribing things. And so if you have made your first purchase on discount from a brand and it's potentially for a gift, let's not send them every email in the book right after, let's create special flows for them and think about them differently. And it's so important. I mean, it's so important because if these are new customers and you've acquired them and you're spending a lot on ads, your whole how much can I pay to acquire a customer calculation is often based on a CLV, a customer lifetime value figure. But we know from the data that we just analyzed that the CLV is 25% lower for customers acquired during BSCM compared to the normal average CLV of a new customer. So they're worth a quarter less, and you're probably paying a quarter more.
At least, right?
And so I think, you know, again, this is where, like, as someone who's owned the business, it's like the profit really matters here. And so, you know, a lot of temptation for media buyers to go all in on, you know, upping budgets right now. But if they're not nurturing those customers in a sophisticated way, it's almost flushing money down the toilet. You know, you've really got to, it's like, yeah, we acquired a few more extra customers, but they're never going to come back and we didn't nurture them. So you've got to avoid that at all costs.
One thing I want to make sure that everyone has some clarity about the segments tool, because I think maybe there's going to be quite a few people that have never heard of it before. And, you know, this whole RFM modeling, this recency, frequency and monetization kind of strategy. I mean, you know, I'll link up to some of the prior episodes to hear kind of John's story at LinkedIn and his data science, him and his co-founder. And it's quite a compelling story where, you know, did a lot of great things inside LinkedIn. Saw the value of how it could be applied towards commerce. And so one of the things I love about the tool is the fact that when you add it on, it ingests all of your Shopify order data. And then from there, it starts, has all of these pre-done segments that are pre-baked into the solution. Like I have many, many brands that are using it. I'm logged into one right now. And it's interesting, some of the things that, you know, these ones are recommended and this particular brand has turned it on. Especially maybe if you think about post BFCM, what are we doing to maximize revenue for the remainder of Q4 is on my mind right now. But some of the things that I see, like this particular footwear company and what they've turned on, and maybe John, you can kind of talk about some of these things in a minute, but you know, top 5% CLV customers definitely turned on, or active loyal customers, they have turned on, and they're loyals. They're still in the loyal quadrant. I know maybe it's hard to explain without seeing a visual, but there's active, there's at risk, and then there's churned customers. And then, you know, there's no purchases and first, second, and onward. If you can think of a matrix visually on the screen, and it seems like they've turned a lot of these ones on because they're seeing that the CLV is quite high, obviously in your top 5% CLV, but your loyal customers, your active customers, they're all turned on. High spenders, they have turned on. So can you talk a bit about like some of these baked in segments? Like, cause I think that makes it go quicker to market by you saying, hey, we connect to your existing tech stack, being Klaviyo and a few other tools and all the ad networks, but we understand your data and here's some of the ones that we kind of recommend. So maybe just share that with the audience so they kind of understand the power of your tool.
For sure. Yeah. So segments is all about uncovering profitable segments for marketers, right? And be able to help you do cross-channel list management directly with our platform. So you don't have to go to every single channel and then recreate the list. You know, the perks of using segments is you can create your list one time and you can sync it to all the channels and it's just always managed. And every customer, every order that comes in will be dynamically updated and pushed to all the channels for retargeting and, you know, lookalike audience building. And so, plus we have actually quite a few segments that we periodically drop into the dashboard, you know, as either premium segments that we create using SQL logical data modeling, as well as like, you know, new interesting insights that we found, you know, from the aggregated data, you know, we'll create those segments for our merchants as well. And so for Black Friday specifically, we created 7 segments based on the data, right? And so we saw that, for example, the repeat customers is a huge part of the Black Friday revenue. And specifically, they're in sort of in 3 segments that are most important. First is the people who recently purchased within 30 days of Black Friday. And then the second group is people who purchase between 30 days and 90 days before Black Friday. Those two are going to be like the lion's share of the repeat revenue because they're recent purchasers. And we actually see that and prove that with data. The last is actually people who purchased over a year ago, right? These could be your last Black Friday purchasers, but they've actually not made a purchase for roughly about a year. And so that takes a bit of a warm up and re-engagement. To basically tell them and do specific carve out against maybe the rest of your campaigns, like what George is talking about. So you can actually target them specifically in Klaviyo. You can do a not in this list carve out if you wanted to do different tiered campaigns and flows against the different segments.
One thing I noticed too, and I know George, I want you to jump in because I know you have, I want to make sure I go through this blog post because there's so much great stuff in here. One little note that I want to say is that what's great also about Segments, the fact that if you have an existing tech stack, which you likely do, you'll likely have, you know, Yotpo, or you'll have Klaviyo. You know, you may have Attentive or PostScript, you know, OmniSend. There's quite a few that are like fully baked in connectors right now. And as John said, it's like once you have the segment that's a profitable segment that is statistically proven to be a good cohort to want to market against, you actually can do an SMS strategy, you can do an email strategy, and you can do paid social strategy of just that cohort. I just want to make sure that's clear. That's how well these all work. They all work in tandem with what you currently already have in your admin, but it's much more advanced. Klaviyo doesn't have all of this modeling. They have some segmentation, but not modeling and understanding the cohorts of customers and the product journeys and how to do proper one-on-one marketing. They just don't have that kind of skill. They don't ingest the data and understand it as well as what Segments does. So George, I'm going to flip to you because I want to kind of get through a few more of some of these insights that you've located and that we've kind of put into this blog post. Thanks for supporting our incredible sponsor, Gorgeous, the leading customer service platform for Shopify brands. They help customer success teams fulfill a promise of delightful customer experiences. This leads to higher customer retention and brand loyalty for your Shopify store. Now, don't forget to click the link in the show notes. You get an exclusive 2-month free trial of Gorgeous, or you can head on over to ecommercefastlane.com/gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean, just one more point on what you were just saying, which is that, you know, when I first heard about this product from someone who was introducing me to John, I was saying, well, I'm pretty sure I can make those segments in Klaviyo. What am I using this for? And now I've realized, like, yeah, it's 100 times better to make the segments inside the Segments app. There's way more powerful segmentation. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, the RFM analysis built in. It has a whole bunch built for you. But then not only that, but you can report on them. So in Klaviyo, I could make a segment of like people that did this and then did that. And these are a group of people I want to nurture, but I can't just see a report on how that segment's doing, right? I can just email them. But this is like a reporting tool as well as the segment creation tool and with more data. And then I can also sync that. So I keep telling John, it's like your segments HQ, you know, make your segments here, sync them to Klaviyo, sync them to Facebook. So, you know, I'm a big fan of that. And an interesting thing that we noticed in the data, by the way, you know, we looked at all the performance of 100 top D2C stores, but I was curious what separated the top performing stores from the bottom performing stores, you know? So I looked at the segments of which, and there was a few ways to slice this. So I don't want to, honestly, I'm not sure exactly every technique that John and his data science geniuses did to segment out which ones were the top performing. Cause you can say, is it the ones who made the most revenue or the ones who got the most, you know, the highest AOV or the highest CLV? But the ones that we decided were the top performing segment, top performing stores, we realized they had a median of 32 unique campaigns that we saw attributed to using that UTM analysis of attached to every order, because that also comes through to Segments. So you can look segment by UTM campaign if that's somehow something you have. Obviously, not all stores have this, and this isn't universal. So, but it's universal enough. And we found that the stores that had the top 40% of stores had a median of 32 unique campaigns during BFCM, whereas the bottom 60% had a median of 14 unique campaign names. So this implies to me that the top performing stores are just doing, you know, almost 3 times as much marketing, right? They are, or maybe more segmentation, potentially more campaign names could equal more emails. It could equal more flows. It could equal more ads targeted. And if you're going to do more ads, they're going to be at different audiences, right? So, right. I mean, think that it just kind of shows you that, like, it's not exactly, you know, one-to-one provable, but it really suggests to me that the more that you're, you know, segmenting your audience and creating campaigns at unique groups, the more likely you are to be in that top 40% of performing stores versus the bottom 60%.
Yeah,
100%. Not only that, but email was the most commonly seen UTM. You know, 43% of all the sales tracked had email as the, which, you know, is no surprise if you're thinking of it from a shopper's perspective, right? You know, you are probably on the email list for all the brands that you are considering shopping from or the ones that you've bought from this year. And they're going to let you know about their deal. And that's going to be what drives a lot of revenue. So, I mean, that was just an interesting campaign. I just found that fascinating as a marketer. I'm like, should I be doing, you know, should I just email everyone? Look, everybody, Black Friday's on. Here's the deal. Like, that seems easy. Not that much cost involved in making that marketing. Maybe it won't lead to top performing results though. People want personalization. And we referenced a study that Klaviyo did. Gosh, and I just don't remember the number right now. Oh yes, 60% of consumers say they will buy again from the same brand after a personalized shopping experience. So I think that that was from, I think that's from the Klaviyo study, is that right? Or I can't remember exactly, but the idea that personalizing your emails, I mean, it's really hard to do at scale, but even if you can use something like segments, make a few extra segments of people who, you know, bought this product but not this, they get one type of marketing. People who bought the other product and not the original product, they get a different type of marketing. They're going to feel a little bit more like, oh, you kind of know what I'm buying, you know? Especially for stores with larger catalogs. So
it's interesting you mentioned that, because that's one of the things that I talk about, you know, to my merchants and even inside Shopify. I talk about these product journeys, and I know John can talk for days about this. This is one of the really neat parts of segments that I love about, you know, what's the first order? What did the, in a particular store, what's the number one SKU or the top SKU? And then what's typically the next thing that they order? And then what's typically the third thing they order? These are looking at, like, you know, loyal kind of active customers. And just to kind of understand that journey. And it's so interesting because you can actually then choose that sort of segment and saying, hey, yes, I want people that have purchased this product and this second product. Or if they purchased this, here's the three other items in order of order history of other customers. If they've owned product A, they're going to buy B, C, or D likely. We've proven it with data of that existing. So maybe, John, can you unpack that a bit about why you built product journeys, and then how do we make that a one-on-one relationship with a customer, trying them to get to that second sale, that third sale?
For sure. Yeah. So the reason why I think we built segments this way, which is, you know, pivotable based on the segment, which is the list of customers for each of our pages, is so that you can specifically drill in and double click on understanding their performance over time, right? Because product journey, you may be wondering, oh, well, like, I want to know, maybe I have a subscription service that I offer. And so people who subscribe, maybe they buy a different set of products versus maybe my one-timers and the people who come back infrequently. And so you can actually segment that out and actually compare the product journey of what they actually buy next. And that's really invaluable information for marketing teams to make post-purchase and cross-sell decisions. We work with a lot of CPG brands across beauty, fashion, apparel, supplements, sporting goods. And there's a lot of incrementality to those SKUs. And you want to know, do you want to understand what is the product they came for and what is the next likely product to offer them? And that really helps you build out your post-purchase flows into, like, sometimes 6 or 7 new segmented post-purchase flows. And that really could mean the difference between, like, a 15% repeat rate to, like, a 30% repeat rate. And that's huge for most brands, is to be able to understand the consumer buying behavior after the first product, after the sort of the hero product, the gateway product, come back and understand, like, what they're going to likely buy next. By looking at the best customers, right? Like, you use your loyal customers, your top CLV customers, to understand their buying journey and use that success to kind of work backwards and help the rest of your customers sort of get on board and enjoy that sort of same experience. It's really, really important.
Yeah. If you don't mind me jumping in, John, like, I just, this is like one of those other things that's in the Segments app that's incredibly valuable, that, you know, I first got into it because of the stuff we were talking about earlier with just identifying these, you know, and creating and tracking these segments. But the fact that you can actually see the whole product journey for each segment it's really helpful. I mean, Shopify doesn't have this report. And when we tried to do it at Fello, it took a long time and we ended up in a rabbit hole of nonsense and overpaying for data apps. I mean, they've got it figured out now. They really know what they're doing, but it just felt like it was hard to find this. And it just being able, I was just delighted when I just opened the app for the first time and just clicked on that tab and I'm like, oh, it's all just here.
Yeah.
And it's so beautifully done. That was one of the main things that sold me on even trying to help them in the first place, is just there's so much valuable insights you can get from that. And it's so helpful to know, like, okay, the people that are buying, spending twice as much, they come for this product and then they buy this other stuff. Whereas the people who, you know, don't buy that product ever are significantly less valuable, or whatever the little insight might be. It's all right there in the app. It's so nice.
One thing too, John, I want to chit chat about too is about discount code usage. I know recently Shopify has kind of launched the kind of stacked coupon option. I know it's been like the number one requested solution. Like, why is it that you can only put one coupon code? You know, or why can't we have a free shipping and a certain percentage discount with one code? And the answer is no. But the answer is yes now, with certainly with Plus brands, anyways, from what I understand. But I know you have like a discount code kind of usage section inside Segments. Can you talk about like why that's there and like what's useful about understanding your customer cohorts and if they're using coupons or not, and then what does that mean for future marketing?
Discount code usage is very, very widely adopted, right? And so you have your welcome 10, your, you know, subscribe and save 15. And right. There's a lot of these campaign and coupon codes that you're using, but like a lot of our customers are not sort of reviewing the performance of each of those campaigns and be able to segment out the cohort of users that actually have used that code, right? So if you're sending a loyal customer code and people are not using it, how are you tracking that, right? How are you actually understanding if those customers are coming back and purchasing, right? So the way that we have thought about this problem is like, well, we know which orders had the discount code applied, and you can actually look at what percentage of order that is, right? And you can then tag, basically, it's kind of like creating a segment based on this discount code and then looking at the customer acquisition month over month, right? So you can see, okay, well, my welcome 10 users out of my new customers every month, maybe 1,000 people used this code. And then you can actually run that against like a cohort of new upcoming months against that same cohort to see what did they come back and purchase again in 3 months. And so for every code, you can do this. And this is huge for a lot of our brands to understand like, well, which codes are actually using. The other way to think about this is like, we see a lot of a celebrity or influencer co-branding for a lot of the products. And so that often comes in, you know, either a specific product name or like a discount code usage relative to that person. And so it's even more important than to understand like which celebrity is actually working for me, right? Which influencer is actually really helpful to push my products forward. And have a big reach, but then also people come back and spend again, right? So it's not like just a one-time thing. And so what I love about this is to be able to like really quickly see how the type of discount codes are performing, and then also compare them, the performance of those customers over time. So that actually you can understand, for example, if they use discount code to get that one product, you can then run that analysis against the product journey and see, well, okay, like is it different from the rest of my other customers who are not using that discount code? Are they still coming back and purchasing, or are they doing a slightly different behavior because of the specific discount code that I have offered?
John, I didn't know you could do that. And I'm just looking at the app and I just did that. I just made a copy of the discount segment where discount code contains, and I can just type in the name of the code. Mm-hmm. We just did a deal with a micro influencer, and she ran a code for our tiny books, and they sold about 100-150 units in the first day, which is quite good for a micro influencer, I'd say. And so I'm just really curious to track that segment over time. Mm-hmm. Will they become as repeat as other customers or not? Because, you know, we maybe didn't make that much profit on those after we paid the influencer and we paid the discount code. But I'm just delighted that I just found this feature while you were saying it.
All right, this podcast is a success. Okay, everybody, see you later. No, just kidding. But okay, well, this is good. This is really, you know, and I'm also doing the same thing. I'm live inside the app right now too. And that's why I found this discount thing. I was like, hey, wait a second. This is interesting. Having this now, especially we have stacked coupons now. This is going to be more and more important for brands to kind of monitor and understand its success. And then, as you said, profitability over time is kind of important. So this is great. John, just one other thing I want to talk about too is Segments 3.0. I understand. I think it was summer. I guess early summer, I think you launched.
Right, June.
Yeah. June. Okay. So 3.0, let's talk about what's in 3.0. What's unique about it? Because you were 2.0 the last time I spoke to you. 3.0, mm-hmm. which I have access to, and I'm, you know, with many brands. But can you talk about some of the things that upgrades you did to it? I know the UI has changed and it's lovely. But then where's the future of the product? Like what's on the roadmap, public roadmap, I guess, so to speak, between into 23, just so I get the warm and fuzzy, but what's next?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, we really work closely with our customers and listen to their feedback, right? And so for us, I think we continue to sort of upgrade the functionality of Segments. And I really think that we're here, we're unique in a way. We help marketers find and target the right users, activate that audience across different channels. And that is really how we can be the most benefit and be like help marketers be more productive. Because all the brands that we work with, the heads of DCs, the VP of marketing, the marketing managers, the lifecycle marketers, they're usually constantly like sort of stuck because they want to do all these amazing campaigns. They want to figure out which campaigns or what segments will work. But then they're kind of in a no man's land because they don't have the necessary, the tools or the data teams to support some of their decisions. And so we really wanted to make Segments 3.0, feel more like a data CRM, if you will, like a CRM on top of your, all of your marketing and Shopify data, and put marketers back in the driver's seat so they can actually self-serve all these things without having to, do, for example, a lot of manual coding or setting up complex data solutions and hack things together. That's how we envisioned Segments continue to evolve, is to become like a CRM that marketers are really familiar with, on sitting on top of their, all of their email and ads and Shopify data, to basically help them figure out what products are being sold, what are people buying, what segments are being can be created and uncovered. In this way, we actually are able to, because we have so many brands already using it, we actually can understand in the aggregate what filters are most applied and what segments are most synced and how that is being used across DTC. And so we look at segments as like a conductor, if you will, like a hub to connect all these things, bring in the same place. In that way, it feels like a CDP, but then all the list management, all the customers you can see, all the segments you can see, and then actually pushing to across different channels, that feels more like a CRM tool. And so that's how we kind of think of ourselves, like CRM on top of a CDP. And so like, I call this data CRM.
I love it. So, I know we had lunch and we're chit-chatting about this too. And I love the data CRM nomenclature, I guess. It just seems to make sense, because it's not a customer data platform, even though you really do analyze data. And then it is a CRM because you're aggregating all this data from Shopify and pushing it out into the necessary channels from a marketing perspective. And I love the fact that it can be used for seasoned marketers that really know exactly what they want to do, and the filters and creating your own custom cohorts based on your marketing, or the early stage founders, they can just use the out of the box 30 some segments that are already pre-baked in just to get started. I love that part about the solution.
They're baked using the source data, right? Like every store that comes in, the segments can reflect what people are doing on in your shop, right? And so those are going to be like the lifecycle grid. One of the merchants was telling me like, oh, I can't believe this is just like reverse engineered, like right out of the box. I can see, all my different customers in different lifecycle journeys, because that's something that I usually have to pay a lot of money for, or have data scientists try to do. And oftentimes they don't come back with the results that I wanted. So stuff like that. And I think more and more like this year, continue on last year, is like the integrations are so key, right? So this year we added a ton of new integrations. We just launched TikTok, we launched Shopify Tag Sync, Attentive Postscript, obviously, and we have all the great email solutions like Klaviyo, Omnisend Active Campaign, and the like, and as well as like Facebook and Google. But the point is, I think, is like the Shopify Tag Sync is one of the things that is really picking up by our brands.
It's a two-way tag, right?
Right? We pull stuff from Shopify and you can actually write them back into Shopify as a tag. It's like a bulk tagging or tag management solution, if you will, that we actually launched on our platform. So every segment you create, because we're kind of like the central HQ for all of your data, so you can actually start creating different segments based on behavior and product purchases, or like UTM channels or discount code campaigns. You can create a segment and then you can then press that button and it'll actually all be synced back into Shopify as customer tags. And then you can then use that to trigger like a million other things that Shopify has in this ecosystem for downstream apps, for like other type of trigger campaigns or other type of downstream solutions. And so it's a really big feature. It's a really important integrations, especially for our Shopify merchants, because they use Shopify and use 20 other apps. And so that is a way for everyone else to be able to share that sort of data intelligence.
So George, do you have any takeaways or anything that you want to share with our audience around maybe the blog post itself, just segments as a solution? Just it's nice to have like a non-employees kind of insights around the tool since you were a user of it. So it's interesting to hear what you have to say kind of as a roundup.
Yeah, I mean, just I advise anyone just to give it a try. I mean, John's got a 14-day trial and you don't have to use it, but you might find it good. I just showed it to my business partner at Social Print Studio a couple of days ago, and we just kind of screen shared and looked at it. He was kind of like not that excited about it before I told him. You know, I was like telling him I'm working on it, and he for whatever reason, he just didn't care. And then as soon as he actually looked at it, it was completely different. So I just recommend other people try and have that experience. One of the first things we found is that there were 2,000 customers who had placed more than 10 orders but hadn't bought in the last year. And we were just like, wow, we're going to send them a personal email from the vendor.
Yes, you are. You know?
Like, yeah. And like their SCLV was something like $650, you know, and we were just on average, and we were like, wow, we got to message these guys, you know. And that was just the first 5 minutes of clicking around in it. And you just find something like that. We were also just surprised by some of the numbers in there. You kind of think you know your business on one level until you kind of look into the data. I just get a lot of a kick out of clicking around into my data. It's like all these stores have tons of data. You can click on your orders tab in Shopify, right? But like, what are you going to find out there? When you click into this segments tool and just start looking at the groups of people that have been buying from you and what their behavior is and what their trends are, it just gets your brain going. You know, every brand's difference. That's one of the things that it's a little hard for me to give advice to everyone. But like, I know that if you look at it, you'll find something that you didn't realize, especially like, for example, our high value lapsed customers. I didn't know they were that good. And I didn't know that I could just export that list to Klaviyo and send them an email immediately. So we did that. And I recommend others do the same.
Yeah, even just sending them a text, right? Even just sending them a text. You know, I think one of the things we joked about is like, hey, like like the top CLV customers or those the churn loyal customers, like right at the top, you will see like, oh my God, this person has like, what, 50 orders? Or like hasn't purchased in a year? Like, I just want to call them right now, right? Like, yeah. I so that's really just kind of the, I feel like it's an eye opener. But this is the really first quick win. People can, you know, just do it like a text-based campaign. Even don't worry about design. They just take some action against some of those really loyal customers.
I mean, texts are so great these days. And like, I mean, I built a whole thing off of it, Fellow Drops at Fellow. And I can saw firsthand how powerful SMS conversion rates can be. But one of the things that's scary for me about making a whole bunch of segments is, oh crap, now do I have to make a whole bunch of flows and design a whole bunch of emails? You know, well, if you just do text, it's really not that hard. And it's actually more powerful. So recommend finding your good segments, sync them to Klaviyo, send them a text. You'll be done in like 40 minutes and you might have made a lot of money.
No, 100%.
Worth a try.
It's interesting. And just for just kind of parting words for me too, is that I find, I love the lifecycle journey visual, because I think that's one thing that hooks people on the product, and why it's so amazing is that the visual is clearly in three columns of your active, your at risk, and your churned customer. Think of those as three kind of vertical columns. But then what's interesting is you show a merchant that say, listen, here's how many customers you have that you just mentioned a minute ago about loyals, three or more orders that are churned. So they've bought three times already from your company in the past. And this particular brand I'm looking at right now, there's 6,000 customers who have bought three or more times, but they've not bought a fourth time. That's very interesting to me that that is available. Or even people that are at risk of churning, bought three or more times, and they have very high LTV or average ACLV. But it's interesting, they're very high, 15,000 customers that are loyal, but they're at risk of churning. Wow, what a great cohort to want to come up with a marketing strategy around. And that's one thing too that I want to add to, is that you do have a lot, like pre-baked into the tool too, is there are some really good kind of little icons in the corner that said, hey, you know what? How do you want to action this? Do you want to learn more about this particular cohort? Or here's some strategy that may work to help you think about, because once again, this could be for a seasoned marketer. They already know what they need to do. They're not going to use the baked in ones, or they'll use a few of them, plus they'll make their own. But some early stage people listening today, hey, if you're not sure what you may need, there's a lot of education pre-baked into the tool to be able to say, well, here's what others do with this cohort and here's how they market against it. So
that's a really key point, Steve. Like, more and more we realize that sort of the segmentation doesn't come naturally for most people. And right, like, and we wanted to continue to make, we want to help connect basically these profitable segments to more of our merchants and help them activate each of those segments more easily. And so we continue to invest in our product roadmap in this way. We're launching a segments library pretty soon. which is actually a company redoing how segments are going to be introduced to our customers in helping them discover the more powerful segments and in an easier flow and understanding and more being more intentional on each of the segments. That's going to come out pretty soon. And then we're also looking at ways to help people activate each of those segments without having to build flows, because that seems to be an unsolved problem, even with Klaviyo. So one of the things we're looking at is, like, for example, making direct recommendations on product recommendations that can be helped synced to Klaviyo in each of those emails. And so those are the things that we're actually constantly working on. It's just like helping people discover more and more these segments, and as well as activating them.
That's awesome. 14-day free trial, but I know we chit-chatted just kind of before recording, and I know you've been very kind to my listeners. Many have taken the offer up. You have a 30-day offer right now. Perfect timing. Here we are kind of either in BFCM, depending on when you're listening to this, or kind of post enjoying some of the sales opportunities of Q4. There's a 30-day free trial. Really kick the tires. Connect it to your store. The link's going to be in the show notes. I think it's ecommercefastlane.com/segments. That will redirect you to a landing page where you can download the app, install it, 30-day trial on it. It'll ingest your data overnight and then have all of these segments pre-revealed, ready to go for you. It's totally worth trying. And then, just like I said, connect whatever tech stack you have as Klaviyo or OmniSend and PostScript or Attentive or whatever you're using. Those will all sync up. And then also with your ad networks, Google and Meta and whatnot. So I think it's a cool offer. And I want to thank you, both you guys, for coming on the show today. George, I appreciate your unique insights around the product and being an active user and almost a brand ambassador for segments. I appreciate you coming on the show. And you too, John, on the side note, love the fact that, you know, you've been a staff pick for Shopify like 3 years running. So that means something. So I just wanted to thank both you guys for coming on the show, and I wish you best of luck for the remainder of this rest of this holiday season. And I'm looking forward to hopefully unpacking some of the actual data for Q4 in the next recording.
Thank you, Steve. Love
Thanks,
to be on
Steve.
The show.
Have yourself a great afternoon. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you personally for being a loyal listener of eCommerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.